T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rolling into hour two here on Sports Talk. I'm Jeff Nowak, filling in for Christian Garrick today alongside Bobby Hebert. And we're going to go to the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line. And I think we have the Bottle Man out of New Orleans East coming in. What do you got over there?
What you got, Bottle Man?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, how y'all doing, man? I hope Christian is having a good day and learning how to bowl because he's going to meet his son again.
Yeah, he's probably taking bowling lessons.
Bob. Yeah, you're right. I wanted to put about the 3 D's. I missed Deuce yesterday. You know the 3 D's for us, the Super Bowl, and I'm going to tell you who's going to be there, Bobby.
Tell me the 3 D's.
The sign and spirit is this. The 3 D's is Coach Dennis. The team, we went in the division.
Dennis,
and
division.
Everybody that listen at me, and the other D is destination. And then we're going to meet the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Oh, so the Bengals are going back to back? Oh, that'd be impressive,
man,
in itself.
We're going to meet the Bengals in the Super Bowl out of the AFC. The reason I say it is the season. Everything we've been talking about and everything all the fans and the non-fans and the people that think they know football and don't know football, it's the sign and spirit within this whole state of Louisiana. That so, just like the people was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to double up for safety, man. We're about to back this thing here. They say they give us the Super Bowl because Archie was from New Orleans and this, that. Well, Porter from New Orleans and Porter supposed to pick off. We play defense, and we have a defensive coordinator like they have an offensive coordinator. This time, I want you excuses after this one here. So you come to the big party because we already party anyhow. We're going to celebrate twice on them.
So Dennis, division. Destination. Those are the 3 D's.
Yeah. And then a little lanyard, Deuce.
And Deuce for good measure.
And Deuce breaking it down. I think more than other years, I think this year we need the Saints to roll. Jeff Duncan wrote a nice article and saying how more than any time in recent years, how the city needs something to feel good about itself. With the carjackings and all was going around or, the potholes and all that. This, to me, is just, I wouldn't say just as important because Katrina was catastrophic. But, in 2006, think about this. You had Katrina, and, well, we're so glad we have football back. But not only did we have football back, we went to the NFC Championship game, 2006. I mean, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, I was like, what? We were 10-6. I think we were number 2 seed, and we beat the Bears in Chicago. We're going to the Super Bowl. Now it didn't happen, but I think we need to have that kind of year for everybody to kind of feel good about themselves. Because dealing with COVID, and you deal certain things within the city, and now all the fans can get together. That's why I just think from a psychological standpoint, the Houdat Nation, we need. Like a great season. Yep. Now, Jeff, you might say, like, bottom line, say, we going to the Super Bowl. Man, that would be unbelievable. Because once you go to the Super Bowl, you just don't want to go. You want to win it. But I think, and I say no pie in the sky, that I think as far as you look at the NFC, AFC, and all that, okay, you look at the NFC, who are the two teams as of recent that we've matched up unbelievable well and kicked their butt? The Packers and Tampa Bay. Okay, think about this. Who, from a national perspective, who do they talk about the NFC? The Rams, Packers, and Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Well, we've beaten the two out of the three, And if we don't get robbed this year, maybe with the Rams. So I'm just saying that's why I think we're right there. And I'd be extremely disappointed. Listen, if we got all hands on deck and we roll, I don't know. And I even say this. I don't care if it's Jameis at quarterback or Andy Dalton. I think we're winning 10 games. I think our team is that good.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Bottle Man. You know, it is interesting because Ian Rappaport was at camp today. And, you know, I think what I've been saying for a while is it feels like the national perspective on this team is very, very far away from the local perspective on this team.
Without a doubt.
And what they think they can achieve and where they can go. But Ian was at camp today, and he went, and I think he was on Pat McAfee's podcast because of what's going on there. And he's like, yeah, this is a good team. This is a playoff team. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I think anyone who's been out there watching them every day is like, this is a playoff team. Can it be a top-end playoff team? Is it a team that can really contend for a Super Bowl?
Like, go to NFC Championship.
Yeah, right.
You know, because boy, we're so close so far. Look how disappointing. You know how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl? How the damn Nola no-call right here in the dome. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't just like to win a game or to win a play. That was to go to the Super Bowl. And to get ripped off like that?
Painful.
Painful. It's like you have nightmares. That's like a bad dream. But I think where our team's at right now and how we structured, like I talked to Mike to tell you about this. You look like, I don't care who you are, AFC, NFC, you got to have luck with injuries. Why do you think the Ravens took a step back last year? Because the Ravens are always in the hunt, right? You know why? The Ravens were hurt. The Ravens had injuries just like we were dealing with injuries. Now, the one team that had success, I would say the Titans, but then they didn't get it done in the playoffs. They, you know, everybody blaming Tannehill. But I look at the example of the Ravens and the Saints. Look at a number of the different games, who was starting on the offensive line, four different quarterbacks. You go on and on. But, I think we truly have that good of a team. And I'm not just being a homer, founding father, who that nation, all that. I'm telling you, I would tell you if I we'll be lucky if we're 500. No, I'd be disappointed if we don't get the double-digit wins.
Well, right, and I keep hearing from people who, like, you know, Philadelphia fans who seem to think they're going to get a top-10 pick out of next year's Saints pick. And, like, I don't think the Saints would have traded that pick if they didn't truly believe they could be in the playoffs.
Right. We're not. Listen, in the past, before Mickey Loomis in the 20th century, you know, you look after when I left. I remember it with Ditken all the days where you truly can have a down year where you're going to win a handful of games. So you want, you felt like you were the Texans or the Jaguars. I don't know. Like, who we drafted in the first round? You know, like, looking forward and trying to be optimistic, but not so much about the season. Or right now, the way we structured, no, we're not rebuilding. Like, we're reloading. Or, like, just tweaking this, tweaking that. And because there's not much difference. I say this all the time. We're at 17 games now where it's amazing how it's not that different. You could go 11-6 or be in the 8-9 team. Now think about that, how you feel. If you 8-9, are we not even 500 because you play 17 games now, but that I still look at that as 500. But think about 8-9 or 11-6, how you feel about your team. I mean, it's like night and day. And I'll tell you, the parity in the NFL is not much difference. That's why the ball bounce your way. You got to have some luck. And that all comes about luck. I mean, like with injuries, your team staying healthy. And you always reflect on, because, you know, you do the post game, the point after and all that. When you win, you tend to take for granted as long as you win. It might be an ugly win, but it all counts the same versus when you lose and it's gut-wrenching. Like the darn Giants game last year. Yeah. We're winning by 11 points, 8 minutes left, we lost that. Then you always bring up the hand. It's always a handful of plays. And you bring that up and go, well, that was the difference of why we didn't win the game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you got to have luck, and you got to have the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about a lot about quarterbacks at the college level. When we come back, we're going to have Glenn Gilbo. We're going to talk a lot more about LSU camp, which kicked off this week. Stick around on WWL AM 870 FM 105.3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on WWL, the Big 870, FM1053.com, and the Odyssey app. We're going to shift gears here and get into LSU football. And we have Glenn Gilbo on the line, SEC columnist at Outkick.com. How are you doing today, Glenn?
Good. Good evening. Happy Friday.
Yes.
Happy Friday. Football's here, Glenn. Saints are in camp. LSU's in camp. We're ready to roll. I think we're probably more optimistic of who that nation and kind of almost taking a wait-and-see approach with LSU.
Yeah, that is definitely true. LSU's roster and what they've done the last 2 years doesn't bode well. But I think with the coaching, Brian Kelly and his coordinators, you know, I think they'll get the most out of them. So, I mean, I think they're going to be better than the last 2 years, you know, which would it be hard not to be. But I think they'll be in that 8-win range, you know, and I think they'll just be better. They'll be better to watch. They'll be easier to watch on the field because they'll be more organized than they've been the last 2 years.
Now, Glenn, when you look at, man, I don't know, it's modern-day football. I'm not even talking about name, image, and likeness, but the transfer portal. Who do you think is going to be the most impactful? I mean, I'm just going by on paper. I look at Jarek. You got three names. Always love a player that has three names. Jarek Bernard Converse, the senior from Shreveport. He went to Oklahoma State. I mean, that has to stand for something. He was all Big 12 pick last season. So do you think he'll have an SEC impact? Because if you can make all something, you have to – and that skins on the wall. What is your take on him or – maybe some other player that the most impactful maybe transfer?
Well, you know, the LSU doesn't have an impenetrable roster by any means except at, you know, wide receiver. And they're pretty good on the defensive line. But everything else is pretty open. I mean, that's what Brian Kelly said yesterday. So I think a lot of those transfers are going to have an impact. I mean, I'm interested to see Jaden Daniels too, the quarterback. I mean, he probably won't be the starter. He's a little erratic with his arm, but I think he's definitely going to play. And he's going to, you know, they're going to use him as a runner, I think, and a scrambler. And he does easily have the most experience than anyone
right
on campus. And I think quarterback is going to be, I think we're going to see a lot of faces at quarterback, at least two and probably three and maybe four as the season goes on. So Jaden Daniels could end up being one of the more significant transfers.
Yeah, you know, Glenn, one of the things that's interesting is, you know, you have the Saints and LSU both replacing a coach in the same year, and they both had such distinct styles. And I think one of the things that we got used to with Ed Orgeron is, like, whenever he would go up there, he was basically the hype man for a lot of his players. And you would hear a lot of, okay, we expect big things out of him, big things out of him, big things out of him. With when Brian Kelly spoke yesterday, I was kind of taken by the fact that he was like, yeah, we don't know the answers at quarterback or offensive line or, you know, these key positions. And that's okay. You know, we're going to find that out. But it was a very different feel. It was like, okay, he is setting expectations where they should be. And, you know, these players will have a chance to exceed them. I'm curious how you kind of walked away from that.
I thought it was very refreshing to hear. I mean, he was telling it like it is, whereas, you know, we didn't hear that from Les and Coach O in August for sure. And I mean, Brian Kelly said what I've been saying all offseason. You know, they got question marks all over the roster except receiver and defensive line. I mean, and there's no, you know, you got names there and you got players, but none of them have done anything. significant, you know, like Emery and Brennan, and they just haven't played a lot. And the offensive line is pretty green and inexperienced. So, you know, there's a lot of holes, there's not holes, but definitely question marks. You know, some of them may be great. We just don't know it yet. And, you know, I think it was nice to hear that from Brian, because he's always kind of told it like it is.
Now, Glenn, another thing, because, you know, you don't really talk about it until, I don't know, you have a bad snap, you shank a punt, or you miss a critical field goal. But I'm looking also to break in a new kicker, new punter, new deep snapper. Yeah. I mean, freshman Nathan Dibbert, the favorite to be the kicker, and you got Jay Bramlett. He was the lone Notre Dame transfer, favorite to be the punter. Then you got the East Carolina transfer, Slade Roy, favorite to be the deep snapper. So usually you might have maybe two out of three or one out of three, but to have a new kicker, you know, new punter, new deep snapper, boy, fans aren't talking about that until they screw up.
That's true. But I think you're going to see them play the game better. I mean, I think you're going to see them better drilled. You know, they're going to have the plays on time when they go to the snap. You know, and I think that's going to be the first thing noticeable. I remember that's the first thing I noticed in 2000 when Saban replaced DiNardo. They just looked better as a team, more cohesive. But I mean, this team still's got a lot of talent. I mean, Mason Smith at defensive tackle. Harold Perkins, a true freshman linebacker from Cypress, Texas, he's a five-star. He's already looked really good in practice. You know, Allie Gay, B.J. Aguilera. Jay Ward's back on defense. They got some players, you know, Kayshawn Boutte, Malik Nabers, Jack Besh, wide receiver, and the true freshman left tackle, Will Campbell. I mean, this guy could play. He could play anywhere. They haven't had a left tackle like him in some time. So they got the makings of a good team.
Now, you know, Glenn, do you think it's a fair assessment? You know, people follow the ball when – you know, usually the quarterback gets too much credit or gets too much of the blame. And however, you know, you're trying to attack a defense, but if they don't win up front on the offensive line, all the quarterbacks could struggle.
I think.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, you know, and that's why I think Max Johnson was going to be the starter last year, even if Miles Brennan didn't get hurt. Because that line last year really struggled, particularly early in the season. And, you know, you had the new O-line coach just got there the previous June. They were really messed up the first half of the season, and Brennan would have probably got hurt big time. And I think that's why I brought up Jaden Daniels. You know, he's the best runner of the quarterbacks. So that's why you might see him more than we're thinking right now, because you're going to have some escapability on this team, I think, with the line until they can come around, because, you know, they just don't look like a strong offensive line right now.
Now, Glenn, when you look on paper, and obviously they all waiting just to have the opportunity, and that being the receiving core, not household names except for Kayshawn Boutte, when you look at that. And I didn't realize this, but he led LSU in receiving yards and receiving touchdown. Despite playing only half the season,
yeah,
you know, I was thinking, I was like, what? I mean, he played half the season and he still led in yards and touchdown. But it seems like that's a lot of upside and potential there. You know, potential, what does that mean? But on paper, all of a sudden, you know, Jack Besh, now he's dealing with shin splints, my understanding. But there's going to be some names that are going to really come to the forefront, I believe, that LSU fans aren't familiar with that wide receiving corps.
Yeah, I like Malik Nabers. He's pretty strong. But, you know, Boutte in his freshman year in 2020, he was among the leaders in LSU's receivers, and he didn't start playing until late in the season.
Right.
Because you had, you know, he had a player leave and hit some injuries and stuff. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Kayshawn for a whole season. And he's coming off an injury. This, I think, you know, he's going full speed for the first time. He had some early issues with Coach Kelly, you know, with a coaching change. But I think they've got that solved. You know, he's definitely a bright spot. And you know, John Emery, we've been waiting for 3 years to see how he does. And if not him, Armani Goodwin was a very highly recruited tailback. So he could be good, too. And, you know, they still got Cameron Wire at right tackle. So they got some players here and there.
Now, one more, Jeff. Now, it comes to my head. Glenn, I think a lot of fans, they look at, come on, the Superdome, that's a home game. And you, it's not the Florida State old school. You and I are old enough. It's like, man, it doesn't matter when you play Florida State when they were rolling. I mean, I still think right now, I mean, even what LSU's dealing with, we should beat Florida State, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, they should beat Florida State because Florida State's been struggling for years now. And, you know, their roster is probably about the same or worse than LSU's. They're in the dome. Brian Kelly is an experienced coach. He's won a lot of places. I think LSU is a solid bet to win that game. What is the spread? What are they, a 4-point favorite or favorite?
That sounds right.
We're gonna get Joe Burrow and LSU in the Superdome within like a month of each other. It's gonna be a great time.
Oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't give Florida State more than a touchdown, but I think LSU will win that game.
So before we let you go, one more question. So what is your kind of read on the running back room? I know Brian Kelly said that it was going to be more of a committee approach. And also, you know, what if you could kind of relay what's been going on with Trey Bradford or what we know. I saw he was removed from the university in some way. I know Brian didn't really give a lot of details, but what is going on with him as far as you know?
Well, I don't have a lot there, but if you're removed from the university, it's not good. I mean, you know, a lot of times a player gets kicked off the team, but not the school. You know, it looks like both. But, you know, I don't think Trey was going to figure much into the running back battle there. I mean, he was kind of a satellite player. But, you know, it's good that, you know, this team's lacked discipline for several years now. So Brian Kelly put his foot down on Kayshon Boutte. Looks like he's put his foot down here. That's what this program needs more than anything in the short term. So that's at least we know who's in charge.
And, Glenn, I mean, I think you're going to see more of that because not knowing and the players, they don't like the way the coach is treating them. I'm transferring. I'm just looking at Bradford. You know, he had battled with a hamstring injury. He transferred from Oklahoma, so he'll transfer again. I think we're going to see a lot more of that with players.
Oh, yeah.
They're here and they're gone. You never even got to know them.
Well, that's why I call it the NCAA quitter portal. because, you know, if you look at the transfers, most of them end up being about the same as they were before they transferred. There's some exceptions. I just don't think you can rely on a large number of transfers. Now, Alabama and Georgia did well because they kind of picked the cream of the crop
right. And
continued. Do that, but look at Eli Ricks. He's probably not going to start at Alabama, you know, because he struggled at LSU. He's not just going to walk over to Alabama and start. I don't believe in the transfers and Brian Kelly's kind of old school too. He had to use the transfer portal though when you looked at
right. That
roster in the bowl game. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of that from him as time goes on. And Georgia going into this season has no transfers coming in. So that
right. Tells
you how they've been recruiting.
All right, Glenn Gilbo, you can follow him on Twitter at LSU Beat Tweet. Check out his latest work over at outkick.com. Thanks so much for the time, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yep.
It's been a busy couple of days of football. Everything's going on.
So, Jeff, wouldn't you be extremely disappointed if LSU – because you want to get off to a great start. But, you know, you look at the name, Florida State. Oh, boy, that's like, come on.
I'll tell you what, the standards of what would make me disappointed with LSU have changed a lot in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So we'll have to see.
Okay.
But coming back here on WWL, we're getting to more about that. I'm Jeff. He's Bobby. Stick around. Back here on Sports Talk. And, you know, one thing we were getting into before the break, you know, expectations for LSU. And Glenn brought this up, and I thought he hit the nail on the head, which is, you know, this Brian Kelly is doing a really good job of setting expectations where they should be. You know, this is a team with questions. It's a team with a lot of transfers.
Right.
This is a team that hasn't penciled in a lot of names. And it is a stark change from what we had the last few years. And, you know, because Ed was always just, he wanted the best out of his players and he wanted to hype them up and he wanted to make them confident. And but you always got like the top end reviews of what these guys were capable of. And what's interesting is there was a point where every player that he was talking about was a superstar, right?
And every player is not going to be Ja'Marr Chase right. or Joe Burrow.
Or Joe Burrow or Justin Jefferson. But there was a point in 2019, these all-hype interviews were right on point. These guys were the best wide receivers
exactly.
in college. He was the best quarterback. Grant Delpit was probably the best safety. Patrick Robinson was probably the best linebacker. The last 2 years, that has not been the case. They have not had that type of talent. But we heard the same type of just reviews constantly, and it was like, well, if they're these great players, why are they not playing
better? Well, not every, you know, it's almost being overly optimistic about not everybody's a five star. No, they're not. And I know, Bebe Cocho, that when he was at Miami, boy, there's a lot of NFL players that crossed paths with him, and I remember him telling me, and he's an NFL player. I was telling you that, Jeff. Like Arden Key. I seen him play last night with the Jaguars. I'm thinking he's been like with three different teams. I want to say the Browns, Raiders, and now with the Jaguars. But then, you know, Coach O would kind of tell me that, Arden Key was like one of the best, if not the best ever. And I want to say he came out of Houston, Texas, if I can recall.
A really good player.
Yeah.
An NFL player,
but when I started thinking he was around Warren Sapp, Jerome Brown, a number of like, but they had coached like, and Mike D'Antonio got the exact number. I want to say like 7 or 8, like first round draft picks. You know, that means your ability and you're accomplishing something in college to be a first round draft pick because you're putting the skins on the wall. So he thought that highly of Warren Keene. But then when Arden Key hurt his knee, you know, he came back, but he never was like that same, dominant player that maybe he thought that he could be.
Yeah, and I think I just like the idea that, you know, we're getting the standard set, you know, and we're seeing a team that wants to understand where it is and have an upward trajectory, you know, and you need to be realistic to really do that.
Well, and Jeff, listen. We could fall off the cliff and it won't work out. But I look, okay, well, if you could take care of business at Florida State, you got Southern. Well, that's a great game. The first time it's ever happened, Southern playing in Tiger Stadium. Then you got Mississippi State, New Mexico. Then look at Auburn, but what they're dealing with, they're dysfunctional right now. Then you got Tennessee coming to town. So could you see them, though, if it falls into place 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Like being 5-0 going into Tennessee, October 8th.
Yeah, there would be a lot of hype then.
Yeah, that's not unrealistic. But all of a sudden, you know, you could be 5-0, but there's different 5-0s.
Yeah.
You know, you could be like a legit number one in the nation 5-0, or you could be an up and coming team who's 5-0.
Yeah,
understand
and,
what I'm saying?
And you know, you asked me if I would be disappointed if they went into Superdome and lost, but like the way the last two seasons have gone, the scale of what disappoints me is so different. I mean, Mississippi State.
What was his name? Costello?
KJ Costello.
He threw for 600 some yards. It was like all of a sudden DBU turned into DB poo. I mean, it was like, well, we can't even use that term anymore because you never get thrown for like over 600 yards. And I was like, whoa. I mean, that was extremely disappointing. And I think.
Well, I mean, KJ Costello was the best quarterback of all time. I don't know what you're talking about.
He was actually, I think he was at the Birmingham Stallions or some U.S.
He was actually in here for a tryout during the rookie minicamp.
Yeah. So, yeah, but look at the game he had. It's like that's something you dream about, to have that type of college dominating game. And then I think dealing with the hurricane all last year.
Oh, yeah, that definitely was an impact.
We all thought we still were going to beat UCLA, even with dealing with all that adversity. So, yeah, that's why I think the Florida State game is so important, based on what happened against Mississippi State at home and UCLA on the road, that this is – we got to get off to feel good about ourselves. If you're a Tiger fan, you got to beat Florida State.
No doubt. I'm Jeff Nowak here with Bobby Hebert till 8 p.m., and we're going to get into a little bit more of the Deshaun Watson news that came out today after the break. Back here on WWL, I'm Jeff Nowak alongside Bobby Hebert until 8 p.m., And, Bobby, I know you wanted to get into this a little bit, the latest with Deshaun Watson. The NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, he has a new attorney general looking at the appeal of the suspension.
Yeah.
And they want a harsher penalty.
Oh, without a doubt. If you look at it, this is a fine, thin line to public perception with Deshaun. And then if you don't come down harsh enough on Deshaun Watson, then is that what – then the whole thing, is that how you treat women, or that's how you think of women? Because, you know, we have Breast Cancer Awareness Month and all. So the NFL, from a PR perspective, they got to watch going forward. Because, no, he's going to be suspended more than six games. I can tell you that right now. You look yesterday, Roger Goodell named. Roger Goodell is passing the buck. And as part of the CBA, he can. He can. So he don't even have to make a decision. But he appointed, Roger Goodell appointed former New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey. I don't even know who that is, but Peter Harvey has a lot of power right now, and he's the designee to hear the appeal, with Watson and what's going to come about. Now, the NFL is seeking an indefinite suspension of at least 1 year plus a fine in appealing the suspension. Now, also, has Deshaun Watson felt remorseful? Have you heard him making any statements about being remorseful or truly remorseful? Not really.
No, the only thing I've seen him do is find a contract where he can get suspended and not lose a dime.
Okay, so, but that's why what the NFL is going to try to get, that when you hear that indefinite suspension,
yep,
Watson would be required to undergo evaluation and treatment as determined by medical experts before he could be reinstated.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see how it's going to unfold. Now, you know, people might say, well, recently 23 of 24 lawsuits filed by the women, what settled and in two grand juries in Texas, declined to indict Watson on criminal complaints, brought on by 10 of the women. So, you know, but you have to look at a civil suit versus like a criminal act. And I don't know how you ever could say, though, because you're dealing with power. If you have sexual assault, is that that's not considered violence? Because you look at like Darius Geis and different players. When you look at when the Me Too movement came about, and kind of like what's rape or whatever in the whole concept. What is like sexual assault? I mean, and you might say, well, it wasn't violent, but isn't that by utilizing your power over a woman, isn't that violent? I mean, I don't know. That's common sense to me.
It's power dynamics. It's a whole conversation. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. If Kwon Baker is getting a 6-game suspension for whatever he did, whatever substance
he took. Yeah, performance enhancing.
And Deshaun Watson is getting that same suspension, there is a very big problem with how the NFL hands out.
They got to change the CBA, though. But see, the players union is going to take up for the players. They're going to fight back. They got to change the wording in the CBA and Article 46. But it has to be negotiated.
No doubt. We're going to come back. We're going to have a lot more. We're going to have Taryn Wack from NOAA.com. Taryn Wack from NOAA.com. And stick around. I'm Jeff. He's Bobby.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.